Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Spotlight On series, where we interview Hollywood's hottest up-and-coming talent. Today, I am honored to interview the lovely and hilarious Carly Craig, whose brand new YouTube premium show, Sideswipe, just released today. We're super excited about it. We've got more to say, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's wrong? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to AfterBuzz TV here on AfterBuzz TV in North Hollywood. We're so excited. I've got the brilliant, hilarious, and all-around awesome Carly Craig. Carly, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I love coming into Africa. This is the best song
I know,
ever.
Definitely. It feels like it's been as hot as Africa
It does. Los Angeles. It seems fitting, yeah.
It's been very, very warm.
And it's Toto who wrote a song about Rosanna, our cat, so...
Yes.
Rosanna. You know, so it all makes sense.
It all makes sense. Yeah. We love Toto. And we love your brand new show, Sideswipe, Carly. I got to see the pilot. It's hilarious.
Thank you so much.
It's really great. You should be super excited about what you guys are coming out with, because I think it's very fresh. We're going to talk all about it, but before we guys do, I should let you guys know, my name's Jeff, and of course I'm joined with Carly.
Yeah, my name is Carly.
Wonderful. We're excited to have you. I want to start by talking about the show, because I want to get into your career as a whole as well. This is a long-form interview. I've been wanting to interview for a while.
It's like 5 hours?
It's about 5 hours.
Awesome.
Yeah, maybe six if we get too talkative. We'll try to keep
career.
It to five. We'll see. This show's hilarious.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's funny. It's such a crowded media landscape that I was kind of like, okay, YouTube show, let's get into it. I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Then I was gobsmacked by how hilarious, what a fresh voice you're offering right now. So
thanks. That's what I was hoping for.
To give our audience a sense of what the show is, I do want to watch a clip.
Okay.
This is one of the first scenes in the show, so we're going to put it on the screen. For those of you audio listeners, you'll still get the idea. Let's check it out.
You have any plans for your big day?
I mean, besides coming to the gynecologist.
No, just working.
Gotcha.
This is the only action I'm getting today. Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean this was action, you know. Would have at least waxed. Which I normally do, by the way. You're catching me right before I go in. I actually have an appointment today, right after this. Today's my day of appointments. Probably should have done that one first, though, right?
No, it's fine. I mean, it's not that bad at all. I mean, it's not bad. I'm not good. I mean, just fine.
You have to grow your hair out when you wax, okay? That's how it works. That's why mine looks like that right now. It doesn't normally look like that, just right before I wax, which I'm doing today. I mean, not bald. I mean, I leave a little hair. I'm not seven.
Right.
I always think it's strange when guys are into girls like that, you know? It's something, right? Like a landing strip or something, right?
Ah, the Cyto brush. Awesome. Thank you. Okay.
All right, guys. I think that gives us an idea of the show. I gotta say, I'm a huge 30 Rock fan, and maybe it's because Jason Sudeikis is in this scene, but I kind of get Liz Lemon vibes here.
Oh, good. Tina Fey. I'm a huge fan, so I'll take that as a big compliment.
Maybe like a marginally cooler Liz Lemon.
Oh,
but
even better. Thank you.
Definitely. But I love it. I just think there's such a fresh new movement in comedy where writers and creators really are willing to make themselves the butt of a joke.
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to sort of speak on that as you sort of developed the voice of the show.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I write down a lot of my own, like, embarrassing experiences in life. Like, that's based on a gynecologist experience that I had where I thought my regular female doctor was coming in and, like, this super hot, like, 40-year-old model walked in. And I was, like, not ready for a close-up kind of thing. And he sits there. And it's, it take you through it in that scene, because it's so horrifying to have somebody sitting there with your legs open and then, like, stick a speculum in there and, like, click it open. And, like, I bring you through all of that with me. And then the nurse really did forget the Cyto brush, and I'm like, is she gonna leave us alone in here with me and hot doctor, like, with eye to eye to my vagina, and like, we have to talk, like, small talk, what are we gonna talk about?
Well,
and so
it does feel like they should warn you with that stuff, because while we're being confessional, when I was in high school, I had to get physical examinations as well, and like, when I was kind of a late bloomer, and when I was a freshman in high school, they rushed me into this locker room, and literally probably a 27-year-old young female doctor is examining all of us.
Oh,
and it's
no.
like all these like seniors in high
is
school
just the grab and cough.
This is the turn your head and cough.
Oh, yes, yeah,
is
yeah,
usually
yeah.
What the? So I don't want to say I can relate, but I feel like I can relate to.
No,
this
that's
scene.
Relating. You don't want. Yes. First of all, it should just be illegal. Hot people like that should not be allowed to be doctors. They need to be like 90 and just experienced, and that's it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I just love it. I think it really sets the tone for the series. And for those who haven't seen the series, if you kind of had to picture someone what the show is, what would you say?
Yeah,
that it is?
I mean, it's loosely based on my life. So I was in a relationship for like 12 years mm-hmm. and got out at 35. Thought I had skipped out on the whole like dating app era and was proud of that and yes. never wanted to get in it. And at 35, I found myself single, and that is how people date now.
Yeah.
So I had to start dating again and got into that little world. And there was plenty of things. I mean, it writes itself really,
yeah.
just the dating part of it. But then there's my mom was single in her 50s in real life. And I always found it interesting to be 50, single in your 50s when you've been married your whole life. You're basically starting your whole life over. And now with the dating apps and everything, what would that do? You know, it makes it easier. Mm-hmm. So Rosanna Arquette plays my mom, who was married with kids. That was how she defined herself and never really had a job, doesn't have any skills. And when her husband dies, she's left with nothing and has to move in with me. And so now she's killing it on the dating apps. And like, you know, she's like the teenage daughter that's living with me, basically. And I'm like the mom. And then you have my sister, who's played by Chelsea Fry, 25, millennial, but married with a kid. You know those friends you have that like feel the pressure to get married with kids before 30?
Yes.
So they do. And then a lot of them are like not so happy
right.
because they just married whoever they were with before 30.
Right.
And so she just had so much getting to know herself to do. And so she's finding herself in that like 7-year itch in her marriage, you know, but she's feeling stuck. Mm-hmm. And then she's watching us just start to get to know ourselves and starting to go out and have fun. So she's pushing me, you know, she's acting like I have the perfect marriage and everything and pushing me to get the same thing.
Right.
So she gets me on Tinder. We go out, get 252 matches that night, and I decide to go out with all of them.
It's been educational for me as well, because I'm also getting married. I'm getting married in I'm getting married in 3 weeks, but my fiance and I also kind of avoided the dating app thing. So I, on one hand, I am kind of young, but on the other hand, I feel like I've got like the soul of like a 48-year-old, like college professor or something. So it's been super informative even for me. And that's what I love is I think for those who are super familiar with the world of dating apps, they'll recognize the tropes that you're exploring. Mm. But for those who aren't, however old you are, you'll enjoy kind of getting a peek behind the curtain of how all this stuff works.
Yeah. And just like for me, it was like I felt a little desperate getting on there. It felt scary. And I knew that I wanted to write a show not only about dating, but I wanted to write a show about, you know, family relationships and just, you know, life in general. So mm-hmm. Like the gynecologist thing is a good example, just like embarrassing things. But when I got on there, I ended up swiping on everybody just like Olivia does, got 252 matches that night, and I met my boyfriend on there.
Nice.
So now we've been together for over 2 years. So it kind of made me think, you know, like to be open-minded about these things, because even though it's strange and feels really weird, I wouldn't have met him otherwise.
Absolutely. I mean, I've now gone to 2 Tinder weddings. So like, yeah, it changes so fast. And it's funny because I feel like my parents will say stuff like, it just seems so shallow to like decide just based on a photo. And I'm like, Dad, you like met mom at a bar.
That's the thing. He's like, she's cute. I'm gonna go hit on her.
Right. It's the exact same thing.
But see, the way that I did it was I didn't look at anybody. I was just like swiping like crazy. Tinder Plus got 1,000 people or something like that. And me and my friends were at karaoke just drinking and swiping.
Yeah.
And I read the messages first. So he basically talked to me first before I even saw him. And then I looked at him. So, you know, I think it was a different way of doing Tinder where it wasn't as shallow. Maybe your parents would approve it.
So I would guess someone of your stature would be on Raya. Is that something that you were
No.
I just, I have so many questions about Raya. So I feel like whenever I get to meet someone, I'm like,
have
curious.
You seen Raya?
I've never seen it. No,
I just couldn't. I couldn't like the video. There's like so your profile is like a video set to music. It was like, there's no
it's
way
too much.
I can't. Yeah.
You're like,
put a bio.
Like, if I have to hire a gaffer to like,
yeah, exactly.
Like you're like, I can't.
My bio said I have no bio.
Because
I was like, I can't put that much effort into this.
It's kind of tough because that's the other thing. And your show does this so smartly. I should let the fans know. First of all, this is a real 22-minute scripted sitcom. It's funny. I think when people think of online series, they might think like web series. But this is like a highly produced, high budget sitcom. So I want fans of, you know, TV to know that this is the
single
real deal.
Camera, so I don't know. Like the first episode, the pilot is definitely, you know, really funny and everything, but you'll see it goes into dramedy category, I would say, throughout the season where it's always going to be a comedy. It's always going to be finding humor in the real situations, which is what I wanted to, over telling jokes and stuff like that. But you'll see that through their relations with each other and with their romantic relationships, there's going to be some really kind of heartfelt, deep moments where it takes it out of, I think, the sitcom category and drops it into the single camera, more tonally like Catastrophe.
Love that show.
It's more like that, you know, where sometimes you're just like, I'm sad, you know, but you're watching a comedy and they're hysterical and they find the funny in the sadness even.
Yeah. Fleabag, have you seen that
show? Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Man, good stuff. So I just want fans to know that this isn't just a web series. Like, it's funny.
Yeah.
I think the tone and the landscape of television is shifting so rapidly that people might not realize that this is, to me, this is on the same plane as a show like Fleabag or Catastrophe.
Yeah, which are all streaming shows.
Yes.
This is just another one. Well, so YouTube's owned by Google.
Right.
So, you know, I think calling it YouTube Originals, you know, and YouTube Premium can be confusing because you think that it's just like, am I like uploading a video that I took myself? But it's not. I mean, it's owned by Google. So there's like, they have the real means to make amazing shows. I mean, George Clooney's doing a show with YouTube Premium now, and with Cobra Kai, which did amazing, and Impulse.
Yeah, so. Well, and the Step Up show we covered here,
Step Up,
the Tatums. So it's, I mean, it's just so interesting to watch all these fledgling platforms really take hold of the TV market, and that's what's happening with this. Because of that, we have a huge audience of TV nerds, so I would love to ask a bit about, like, development. I mean, obviously you've been an actress for a long time, you've been a comedian for a long time, but did you know you were a television writer before this show?
I mean, I've been writing for a long time. I went to Second City. I graduated in, like, 2003, so I've been writing since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing sketches.
Yeah.
And I would work at this restaurant that was in between, like, all these big managers and agents, and I would invite them to my shows. So I did that for, like, 6 years, and I ended up signing with Bernie Brillstein, who was, like, one of the biggest managers, like, ever, just based on doing that stuff back then. Writing, I knew back then that writing was going to be a big deal for me. It was, like, the way that I was going to get in, because just through auditioning and stuff, nothing was really happening. I wasn't even getting that many auditions. It's hard to get your foot in the door.
Yeah.
So the only way for me to do it. And then I got the Farrelly Brothers. I met them, got them to come to a couple of shows. And so people started getting to know me. This is like before you would send a link. It was like right before that. So it was getting people to come to your live shows.
Right.
So I would just do that, like produce on a smaller level and write on a smaller level to get them to see what I want to do, the kind of characters I want to play. And then they started putting me in movies and everything. So then I started writing TV shows. This is my third pilot that I had written.
Okay.
It was just the first one that got made and, you know, went to a series.
Mm-hmm.
So
I will say, though, I think a lot of people don't realize the, you know, the structural necessities of writing television. And there's a lot of sketch writers, but I think to develop a show in a series is a different beast. So I'd love to hear you speak on that, because this is a 10 episodes.
It's eight episodes
first season. That's, you know, that's not just a sketch.
No. So what I did, and by the way, like the way that that's new to me, like that was rare. Like that, you know, normally you shoot a pilot and then they decide if they're going to shoot more. It was so awesome the way that YouTube Premium does it, where I think I shot that gynecologist scene prior to selling it. So that my friend Dan Reisinger and I talked about shooting something.
He's your co-creator on the show.
Yeah,
director.
So he directed. Yes. So him and I talked about me writing something and acting in something that he could direct early on. And I was telling him my dating stories, and we decided, let's do a show about that. So I wrote the pilot. We decided, let's shoot the first scene, and I'll get one of my friends that's a bigger name to be in it, so we can sell the show easier, kind of sell the tone of the show.
Right.
Because the tone is very specific. It's very grounded. You'll see in that there's like a long, you know, pause and silence that
it's really long.
Yeah, it's really long that you wouldn't just, it says it in the script, but I don't know if you understand it until you see it.
Right.
We wanted to show. So I sent it to Jason Sudeikis. I had done Hall Pass with him. So we've been friends since then. And I said, you know, I really think you'd be great in this doctor role. I did write in there that he's super hot and everything. Cause remember I told you it's the model doctor. So I think that helped. Push out, like, I'm gonna play the super hot doctor.
I've got this really attractive role.
Yeah. Six pack ab, it sat on there. And so he said, he wanted to do it. So I said, okay. So we got producers. We got producers by then too, to be attached to the show. And we decided, let's go to New York on a day that he's available. And let's shoot this teaser.
Mm-hmm.
And having his name and the other producers we had attached, were able to get like one of the DPs from Game of Thrones to do it. Like, we just got all these people that were so experienced, and everybody could do it for like nothing.
Wow.
And shot that brought that into YouTube Premium, gave them, you know, the teaser, the script, and we had written a series Bible.
Right.
That, you know, tells you all about what you're going to do the whole season, what you could do, just ideas, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a really pretty, like, Dan was really good at, like, designing the Bible, I think. And I would just send him the story stuff.
Right.
And put it together. And so they had all of that for, you know, them to see what the show is. It was very clear. And basically, there's kind of a mini pilot to see. So I think that's what made it easier for them to pick it up to series.
Definitely.
And for me to star in it, because mm-hmm. you could see me play the character.
Right. I'm assuming you're show running as well, right? I mean, so you're running this writer's room. You've had, obviously, you're very experienced. You've had a really long career, but
yeah.
I would think this would be new territory for you as
100%.
A creator.
Yeah.
So what was that like to dive into this? I mean, this is a big budget show relative to a lot of what gets produced.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
It was intimidating at first, for sure, because I hadn't show ran before. So I knew I wanted to bring on somebody to co-show run with me mm-hmm. that was more experienced. So I found this girl named Robin Schiff, who she wrote Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion and Loverboy back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And then she'd show run a bunch of TV shows along the way. So I read her script and it was the best that, I mean, honestly, she's such a good writer. And so I asked her to co-show run with me through her agent and I got a no right away, like not even like an answer why. And I'm like, she's the only one that I want.
Wow.
So I wrote her a letter and I just said, look, your script, this is the reason I think that you'd be great. You know, the tone that you would, which you write is really rare. Everybody writes very over the top, I was finding. And I wanted that really grounded, just like what we're thinking. It's coming from, you know, circumstances as opposed to jokes and stuff like that. And hers was that. It was literally the only one. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I just want to meet you. And because I'm such a fan of your work and watch the teaser and read the script and just see if you'll meet me. So she did. And she apparently had bad experiences on some other shows and decided I'm quitting Hollywood for a while.
Wow.
2 weeks before I sent her that.
Good timing.
So that's why I got the note. And then I sent her a letter saying you're the greatest writer ever. And so it was like perfect timing. And we decided in that lunch that we were working together.
I had
that support behind me because there was a lot to do. I mean, when you're show running, and I had never run a writer's room. I'd never been in a writer's room before.
Right.
You know, I had written a lot of stuff, but I'd never run a room. So to have Rob in there, who's run plenty of rooms, was really great. And she was great at pushing me. Mm-hmm. Like right in the beginning, she, you know, we played a game to get us all set up. And then she looked at me and let me just run it.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I just figured Robin's going to run it. Mm-hmm. And I'll just like set the tone.
Chime
and, you know,
in.
Yeah, I figured I'd watch for a bit. But right away, she's just so good at mentoring.
Wow.
And letting me just. And when she did that, I felt the confidence after a day, you know what I mean, of doing it. I felt the confidence to run the room after that, you know, always with her support. And that, I think, was for me the reason that, you know, I could do it.
How cool. What a neat, like, addition to the team.
Oh, like honestly, it helped me so much because it's a big deal to run a writer's room. You want everybody to respect you. You know
right.
what I mean? You want them to believe in you. You want them to think that you know what the hell you're doing.
Right.
And I did know what I was doing with the show. I knew exactly where I wanted to go as a writer, but I'm like, do we write this on a board? Where's the board?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
breaking
she
stories,
knew.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew how to do it for myself, but is there a way to do it for the room? And so we did that together.
Cool.
And that was really great. So, and then being on set and running and show running there where you're getting to make all these decisions, you know, like a wardrobe and budget mm-hmm. things. And I mean, there's like a million things going on and problem solving that we would split up and do together.
Cause you're acting in it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah.
I mean, your days
makeup,
are long
I mean,
enough.
The makeup trailer, like, yeah, that's good. Wear that. Yeah. Just answering questions and signing things because, you know, the studio that is Kissing Toads is, I had to start that studio
right.
with YouTube. And so they basically are licensing it from that studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd never run a studio before.
Right.
So now we got to figure out how to do that. So it was just like a huge learning curve in like 6 months that was, I think, for everyone involved, including Robin, because it's a new format.
Right.
And it was great. Like it was, for me, I love having that responsibility. I felt like I was in my element. Knowing the show so well after
right.
working on it for like a year and a half, I knew the direction and decisions were easier for me,
mm-hmm.
which makes it better for everybody else. So it was super fun. I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Well, you guys did well. It's a really great
Thank
first
you.
Season. So I also want to acknowledge the power of a handwritten letter because I think that's such an important lesson to take away.
Yeah.
I'm sure you saw
don't
Lady
take no
Bird.
For an answer.
Right. Did you see Lady
I
Bird?
I did, yeah.
So I don't know if you knew this, but Greta Gerwig wrote Justin Timberlake a handwritten note to
oh,
use
I
Crimea
River. I did hear that. And he said, yeah. And gave each other nothing, right?
Yeah. So that's the power of a handwritten note, you guys.
If you're passionate, it will come out in your words. And then, you know, people love. I mean, wouldn't you like it if somebody wrote you some, like, love letter, how great you are? You'd be like, I'll meet them.
Absolutely.
No problem.
So you've been talking about tone. I think that's a huge part of the show. You wanted something funny, but you also wanted something truthful and grounded.
Yeah.
What were some other maybe television references that you were looking to as you developed the show?
Catastrophe is a huge one for me. Yeah. I love that show. You know, I think that and both of them write what they know. Mm-hmm. They're writing from their own experiences, which is the kind of stuff that I like to write. So it's like it was like the first show that I'd seen in a long time that I was like, this is the exact kind of comedy that I love to watch and I love to write. Mm-hmm. So it was great for me to be able to use that as a reference when I was pitching it.
Right.
You know, because people, when they read a script, it's hard to tell tone, you know, and when they see the teaser, I think it really helps. But to be like, that show was such a great example. It really, you know, for me going into the pitches, it helped a lot.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So as an actress, like, it takes courage. Sometimes, I mean, Lena Dunham talks about this, but she'll talk about the writer part of you and the actor part of you are sometimes different. So when you're writing, you know, the stakes and the expenses have to do with the character. So you're like, oh, yeah, I'd love to throw this character under the bus in this scene. But then you get to set and all of a sudden you have to perform it. Did that ever happen to you on set where you're like, oh, man, I didn't realize I had written something?
In the pilot, when I had to drink that coffee, oh, my God, I like, literally, I'm choking. Can you hear me choking? Yeah. It's real. And my eyes were watering and stuff because the one of the props girls comes over and she's like, breathe out of your nose. And I was like, oh, she's like, you've never like done a keg thing. I'm like, no, I haven't. She's like, do it, breathe out of your nose. And then I chugged the whole thing. It was great.
But they're like, you wrote this. Like,
I know. I wrote it, the pilot. You never think you're going to shoot. I've written three pilots. I didn't think I was going to shoot it.
And
you know
as
what
a
I mean?
Writer, you know, you have to put the character through the ringer, but I'm sure as an actress, you don't realize until you're on set, like, oh yeah, I do have to do this now.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever come across that or?
A million times. Yeah. Because I only write like my own embarrassing, vulnerable situations.
Yeah.
So there's so many times that I'm reliving something that was so awkward.
Right.
Or I'm all of a sudden like, you'll see in episode 2, it gets very vulnerable. I won't ruin anything because you haven't seen it yet. It gets very vulnerable. And then I'm like, I can't get mad because I made myself do this.
Right.
Like I'm in this situation because of myself.
Well, audiences are so grateful for that. You know what I mean? It's just television in the last 15 years has gotten so good. And I think like it's because people are finally willing to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Which it seems so obvious, right? Like, oh, like truth leads to good storytelling.
Yeah.
But if you look at the history of TV, I think not until the last 15, 20 years have, I think writers and actors really embrace the courage to sort of tell the truth on screen. So.
I think it's people. Yeah. Cause people want to go, oh, I felt that way too. Or that's happened to me too. You know? And It being vulnerable, I think, and showing that it helps people to relate and then they can find the comedy in it, even if it's not even that, like, even if it's just awkward, it makes it funny because you relate to it.
So what else can you tease? Maybe other guest actors, plots that we should be excited about?
Sure. I mean, we have a ton of guest actors on it. So you saw Jason Sudeikis in that same episode. We have Thomas Lennon.
Oh, love Thomas Lennon.
Obviously, Rosanna Arquette plays my mom. We have Christopher McDonald, Tyler Posey.
Oh, nice.
Rick Springfield.
Yeah.
Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher.
Nice. Amazing. I told you Rosanna's character is dating too, so leave room for some fun.
Yeah. I love that.
Brian Greenberg's. We have Reese Coiro from Entourage, the like crazy director on Entourage.
Oh yeah, Reese.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's full of them. I mean, every episode I think has somebody great.
Awesome. Well, I can't say enough good things about the show. And I mean, this is a compliment, but I feel like my expectations were kind of blown away when I saw this pilot.
Oh,
so
good.
It's a really, really wonderful show. It's super funny. And I think in a really crowded television landscape, you've done a great job making something that really stands out. So
thank you.
Check that out, guys. And the first episode is already out.
All 8 episodes are ready to watch. You can binge them on YouTube Premium. You can watch the first 2 for free.
Okay.
And then you can sign up. You have to subscribe after that, but you get a month for free. So you can actually watch all 8 for free. And then if you keep your YouTube Premium after that, it's great because you get all their, you know, original programming, which we told you about, all those shows that are out and are coming out. But you also don't get commercials on your YouTube videos anymore.
Right.
Which is like the best thing ever.
Yeah,
I
know.
And the music's really good.
There's a lot of Cobra Kai watchers out there because I know we got great numbers on our coverage for that. So
you
already have YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
Check out her
show.
And if you don't, you should definitely get it because they're putting out some good stuff.
They're putting out some really good stuff and more are coming and movies. I mean, it's really going to be great. I think that they're just getting into this, you know, new premium kind of programming. And it felt really cool to be on the ground floor with them as like their first real female comedy.
Right.
You know, a grounded female comedy.
Yes.
So, and then just to see where it goes after this.
Definitely. Well, you should just be so proud of this show. I can't wait for season two. This is a career-long interview, though, so I also want to pick your brain about just some of the earlier stuff we've seen you in. I'm always interested. Writer, performer, directors, did you get started? Like, were you a theater kid? Like, how did this all get started?
No, I wasn't an actor at all.
Okay.
I literally, like, I went to the movie theaters and saw Titanic and saw it 9 times. And I don't know, something clicked in my head when I was watching it. I found it so cool that you can be in the theater and be in this other world. No, and I know that they're actors because I fell in love with Leonardo DiCaprio after that.
Right.
You know, and the idea that you can go in this other world, I wanted to do that for people. So as soon as I turned 18, I moved to LA to be an actor, but like in dramas. I wanted to be in like period epic Titanic 2 or something, you know? So comedy wasn't even on like in my mind at all. Neither was doing any kind of theater. I didn't want to do any work in the beginning. I just wanted to come to LA and like make it.
Yeah.
And then that didn't happen. So I came to LA and met. So my friend was talking to Dan Aykroyd at a party and he strongly pitched going to Second City, like was passionate about it. So the next day we both signed up and I ended up graduating from there. But the program there, it takes a while to actually get on stage and perform. And I was with such a funny group. I really wanted to get on stage earlier. So I would mini produce. I would get a bunch of people together. We would rent the studio and I would invite all those people that were, you know, coming to my restaurant, the restaurant where I was working, and would put on shows and started getting some attention there just from, I started writing right around then because I wrote like a sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And I just did that for 6 years and then got into Stella Adler, which is, you know, I went there for like 9 years. I just kept going.
Wow.
I loved it and would produce plays over there. I would get the rights to a play, get a director and the actors. And because then I've always wanted to have control over the parts that I was playing as much as I could so that people could see what I really wanted to do. And because I think when they meet you, it's really hard to tell. There's a lot of actors, you know, cute girls in Hollywood and whatever.
It's so competitive.
So when I started doing comedy and I knew that mine was kind of an edgier comedy that was like, I had this like naively disturbing, you know, kind of voice for a while where I was playing guitar and I would do these songs that were like the first thing I ever wrote that was like mine all by myself on stage was a song called The Daddy Song, which is about a girl who's like in love with her father who molested her as a child.
Nice.
Which sounds horrible, but it was like super catchy. And, you know, it was really like, she's very naive about it and singing it to a bunch of kids at a birthday party.
It's kind
of
dark.
So it's very dark. Yeah. And all of the things I wrote were very dark in the beginning. And Bernie Brilson, that's when he signed me. He's like, you found your voice, kid.
Yeah.
You know? And it was just a really dark, horrible thing, but it was fun. And that got me a lot of attention. I think it got me, then I got role models because I was auditioning, started auditioning and stuff. So I booked role models. And then having your first big movie, I think, really helps get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
But that took 9 years.
Yeah. So for any aspiring actors, it sounds like your advice would be make your own stuff, find your own voice.
Yeah. And if you like, not everybody's a writer, you know, and, but I think you can find the writers, like go to class, you know,
right.
For me, going to Stella Adler and going to the Second City, I met people that I wanted to work with. And so you might meet somebody that's a writer that you could talk about what kind of part you want to play. Because I know a lot of people I meet are like, well, I don't write.
Right.
So how can I do that? And it's like, you just got to go be around those people. And the way that you get around them, I think, is in class.
Yeah.
So
during that 9 years when you were just grinding, did you ever feel like maybe it wasn't for you? I mean, every actor has this story of it's a grind, but I would have to imagine there were seasons during that 9 years that were pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt excited and I always felt like every year got a little bit better in some way. But it was like that going home for the holidays and everybody's like, so you've been there for 8 years. What do you got going on? I'm like, oh, I'm doing a play. How much do you get paid to do that? I'm like, I'm actually paying to do it. I rented the theater, like spent all my waitress money, you know, like everybody was just like, okay, time to do something else. It's been 9 years, you know, and then you book one thing and everybody changes their mind.
Yeah. It's so funny how that happens.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, all the condescension turns into, oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then eventually it turns into like jealousy. And
it's like, you didn't care about me 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What you should have done is when they asked you how much you were getting paid, just said however much it cost you and just not
my whole paycheck.
Yeah. It's this much.
Yeah.
So that must have been cool though, because Role Models is wonderful, but I do want to talk to you about Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
Because I love this show. And as someone who sounds like they have a bit of a dark sensibility in their comedy, I'm sure Children's Hospital was such an exciting project for you to dive into.
Yeah, well, I met those guys through Role Models. They're the same people who, it was David Wayne who directed that.
Right.
And then he had me do his show, Wayne-y Days.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
I love all those Stella guys.
And, so funny. Yeah. I was a huge fan of the State when I was younger.
Yeah.
So to get on set and be like, oh my God, I'm working with like everybody from the State, I was like, freaking out on the inside, like Jolo Truglio, Mickey, so
Mike Lee in Black.
Yeah. So for me, that was really cool because that's kind of like, that was that and In Living Color were like my introduction to comedy.
Cool.
As like a teenager.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. And then so David Wayne put me in a bunch of stuff after that. Put me on Windy Days and then Children's Hospital, where I met Rob Corddry and I played his like sitcom wife. Mm-hmm. They put me on it again. I played like two different roles on Children's Hospital. And then Burning Love was after that, which I was already a fan of Burning Love. I was in season 3.
Yeah.
So when they called me to be in that, that was Ken Marino.
Right.
Who I'd worked with on Role Models and didn't even know that he ever thought about me ever again, you know?
Uh-huh.
And he literally like called me, he got my number through my agents and called me and was like, I want you to play this part. And I was like, yeah, I'd already seen it. I'm like a huge fan of the show. Of course I'm going to be on it.
So cool.
Yeah.
So that must have been, did you feel like you had to do any mental gymnastics as someone who moved out wanting to be like Kate Winslet, but yeah. You're kind of becoming a comedy wunderkind on that's, this is my taste. Like these are some of my favorite projects, but yeah. What was that like personally?
I really love comedy. So the transition into it, when I went to Second City, I kind of went through it there mm-hmm. and feeling, you know, like getting on stage and failing. And then all of a sudden you get like, everybody laughs at you for the first time. There's nothing like that feeling.
Right.
When I first wrote the Daddy song and I remember I sang it for my acting teacher, we were going to do a show and he looked at me and he goes, that might be the funniest thing I've ever heard. I had no confidence in my writing or as a comedian in any way until I started hearing the laughs uh-huh. and somebody that I respected so much to say that to me. And so I loved it. You know, that transition was great. And getting on stage, you get such a high. So, and I still do my drama, you know,
for like, sure. And this show you are,
mm-hmm.
but yeah. Most of your collaborators are sort of known as comics first. So yeah. I'm wondering if that was a surprise to you or
it was, but, Bernie Brillstein was the one who told me do the comedy route. Cause it's, you know, females in comedy are like, it's rare mm-hmm. is what he told me. So he's like, do that, stick on that route.
I also think it gives you more currency to be writing. I will say
100%.
I think sometimes for dramatic actresses, unfortunately this shitty town, they'll flame out when they turn 30 cause yeah. they're old. And yeah. like, I think having the chops and the power to be able to write your own material like you're doing with this gives yeah. you just so much more currency in this business.
Totally. I mean, I actually think I would have quit acting if I was only acting. Mm-hmm. There's so much rejection. You have zero control.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just going from audition to audition and it's frustrating. As a writer, I felt like I was always working. So that's what kept me positive, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I would always have something that I was writing, whether I was writing the shows and then later, you know, writing a movie mm-hmm. and then, which none of these went anywhere, you know, they all were experiences that when I finally got to this job, I was really ready for it.
Right.
Because I had been doing it for 20 years on smaller, you know, in smaller stages of it.
I'm glad you'd mentioned the audition process. And yeah. there's an interview I really like, Lacey Rose, who interviews for The Hollywood Reporter, loves to ask actresses what's like, not your worst audition story, but maybe like the most shocking thing you were asked to do in an audition or...
I mean, commercial auditions are always like, I went to one commercial audition and this is the last one I went to because when I got out of it, I was like, I think I want to take a break from commercial auditions. Cause I went and I had just, so I'm on that show, American Housewife, and yeah. they wanted to dye my hair blonde. And so I said, okay. So we dyed my hair blonde and I had straightened it, you know, for this audition for like a car or something. And I go in. And the guy looks at me behind the camera, you know, he's like the casting guy, and he just goes, okay, now I want you to play this like with some depth because, you know, you kind of have that Real Housewife of Orange County look. So, you know, I just want to make sure that you know what I mean? And I go, no, I don't know what you mean. What do you like? That's so mean.
So insulting.
You know? So insulting, but it's like, you're not a real person.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have to do crazy, you have to pretend like driving a car now, you know, and I have to like, you feel like an idiot. So I've done a lot of those.
Yeah.
I did book a commercial with Michael Phelps where I had to play an Olympic swimmer.
Okay.
And I had to go in my bathing suit, walk in my bathing suit and act like I was getting ready to go in the pool. So like Michael Phelps does, you know, he does that like whatever he does with his arms. Uh-huh. I'd like do that and like act like I was looking at the pool, like I'm ready to go. And I'm just like, I'm such an idiot.
It's ridiculous.
But I booked it, so it was fine.
Well, you know? I have friends who are actors and they'll talk about how sometimes these commercial casting agents don't even understand anything about the entertainment industry. So they'll be like, you're like on the phone, but like you're also in Japan and like make sure like you're eating sushi. sushi at the same time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what
yeah.
the hell are you talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I'm yeah. telling you, I've still haven't gone back to that.
Yeah. Do you feel like it's been, I mean, your show is so empowering and so female, which yeah. even as like a boring white straight guy, like I love that. That's what I'm craving. Like,
yeah.
it's Lena Waithe who said even like straight white dudes are tired of seeing straight white dudes on TV.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
we're
yeah.
just bored. So it's such refreshing content.
Thank you.
But like, obviously it's been a huge year for women in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you feel like you've seen any changes personally from what you were used to compared to what the climate is like now.
I mean, yeah, I feel like even going in and pitching this, I like writing for a long time and giving scripts to my managers and being like, oh, that's adorable. You wrote a script for so many years. And then finally people were like, I want a female driven show.
Yeah.
That for me was the first, you know, like I was going into these meetings with people wanting it to be good as opposed to just, you know, I'll Aww. Take the meeting because I know this guy or right. when I'm doing a favor. So that I felt that big time. Like when I went into YouTube, they were like, we're looking for a female show.
Cool.
I'm like, I got it.
Right.
Starring all females, you know, it's multi-generational. I wanted to be very inclusive in all ways, like whether it be ages or ethnicities. I wanted to bring all that to this show.
Mm-hmm.
So this movement, I think, has made it a little bit easier for me in that way, for sure.
Well, the funny thing is, like, people are finally realizing, like, also it's profitable. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously we should be pushing diversity and inclusive voices because, like, it makes for better art.
Yeah.
But, like, Black Panther is still, like, the second highest grossing movie of the year.
It's a great
and
movie,
it's, like,
yeah.
And it's a wonderful movie. It's like, oh, like, you mean if we tell other people's stories, like, people will watch it?
Yeah, like, the color of your skin does not make it. And you know what I mean? It's
right.
It's a great movie.
For sure.
The color of your skin doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, like, it's so infuriating to me.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, I just think, I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited
Thank
for this
you.
Show. Anything else that you're working on? I'm sure this is your big, this has probably been consuming all of your time right now.
A lot,
but
yeah.
Anything else that you're excited about that we should be looking out for?
Well, I'm still going back for American Housewives. So
right.
I've done two seasons of that. And
Which
I play...
is a wonderful show. I think ABC is killing it with their sitcoms right now.
They are. People watch this show. It gets
yeah.
a huge audience.
It's wonderful.
And it's fun for me because I get to play really mean.
Yeah.
And I never, it's so... I'm not mean in real life, so whenever...
Well, before we went on air, I gotta say, Carly... No, I'm just totally joking.
So do you. So don't consider that.
Sorry. No, she's the best. She's really nice.
Exactly.
She's really
there
nice,
you,
you guys. She's not mean at all.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
it's great. I love American Housewife.
Thanks. Yeah. I have a lot of fun on that, so it's fun. I'll go back in season 3.
Great.
It's interesting juggling the two, but we have to wait and see if we get a season 2 for Sideswiped, you know? So if we
you
get
will.
That...
I think you will.
Thank you. I
yeah.
hope so. It's getting good reviews, and I think people are liking it.
Right. Definitely.
So.
Well, if you guys want to see season 2 like I do, you need to watch this show. It's
yeah.
on YouTube Premium.
Yep.
And the whole season's out. Binge it. I'm going to. I didn't even realize all of it was out.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm gonna, like. You saw the pilot. You should see all 8 episodes.
I'm going to watch all 8 episodes. And I know for a fact my fiance is going to love it, too.
Oh, good. So. Good. And
well,
let me know what she thinks.
Yeah, I
and
definitely will. She's great. She's hilarious. So she's a writer as well. And we're going to watch
oh.
it this weekend, and I'll let you know,
oh.
Carly. But
she's a writer as well. That's cool.
She is. Yeah, definitely. So we're super excited, guys. We're talking about Sideswiped on YouTube Premium. You're already on YouTube. Just
yeah,
go to log
there.
In. It's up here somewhere.
Yeah,
click
to,
it.
Then go to Originals.
Yes.
That's gonna be like the first thing you see. It was you Sideswiped, and just give it a chance.
Is that weird to like log into YouTube and
yeah.
see?
It's all weird. I went to New York and they had like a giant video billboard up. I'm like, this is my 20th year here in LA, so you know, it's a lot of all those things I was talking about, like a lot of no's and a lot of really great things too, but nothing like this. Like that was truly like I was living in a dream.
Do you feel like you're enjoying it, or you're just like holding on?
I'm enjoying it.
I'm
living in the moment.
Good.
I mean, yeah, I'm definitely taking it all in, almost too much, where it's like the excitement gave me like a stomach ache yesterday, you know.
That's
like,
the
so
I
happy.
Love that's my favorite thing to hear though, so I'm super glad about that. You guys have a premiere tomorrow, which is super exciting.
Do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wonderful.
We
well, guys,
Which
check
we'll
it
be
out.
At, right? You
yes,
guys will
our
be there.
Network will be there. So also stay tuned for our red carpet videos.
Yeah.
But congratulations one more time, Carly.
Thank
super
you.
Excited.
Thank
I'll be
you
watching
so much.
It. You're welcome. Guys, this has been Spotlight On here on AfterBuzz TV, where we interview some of Hollywood's hottest up and comers. Super excited to have Carly Craig here today. Can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank
if you guys
you.
Want to see more of what I do, my name's Jeff. On Fridays, I host a show called The Unproduced Table Read, where we read Hollywood's hottest unproduced pilots and features. We don't have a show tomorrow, but in a week, we're reading a sitcom about an Uber driver who's a reincarnated Greek god. It's hilarious. It's really, really sharp, and it's winning a bunch of awards. So we'll be be reading that Friday at 10 a.m. on the Unproduced Table Read, so check that out. Carly, thank you for being here. Where can they find you online if they want to connect with you?
On Twitter, Carly_Craig. On Instagram, Carly C. Craig. And then Facebook, Carly Craig. And perfect. Tell me, I'd love to hear your dating stories. I want to hear what you think of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You can tweet us there.
Yeah.
And guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll be here all the time here on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.